97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Always a privilege sitting in for Mark as he takes some well-deserved time off. Got the great crew with me, as always. Got Ethan here, Sue, Fred. Always a good time. And joining us live is Dwayne Patterson. Writes for Hot Air. He produces Hugh Hewitt's show. A Politico kind of guy. Not Politico like the website, but a Politico in the good sense. How are
Boy,
you, my
am
friend?
I glad you cleared that up.
I did. I didn't want you to get mad at me, but, you know, before they picked that website, that was a cool, you know, term that people used to describe some other people, right?
Yes, it was. How are you, Heidi? Haven't talked to you in a while.
I'm doing well. It is good to talk to you. I see here that Mike Johnson is now asking Pam Bondi to explain the Epstein statement and kind of make things more transparent. You're not buying it? Okay.
I really wish at this point I could care about the story. I'm at the stage now where the only thing of interest to me is Bill Clinton's involvement. And then beyond that, because honestly, if there was something on Donald Trump, because the left is trying to embrace it now as though they've never been in power before, right? And so the Democrats are, Hakeem Jeffries and people in the Senate are saying, oh, we need to release all these files. We have to have all of this disclosure. Well, where were they the last 4 years? And if you think there's something bad on Donald Trump in there, which is what their inference is, don't you think we might have seen that by now?
Right. They would have pulled it out. They would have had it, and they would have pulled it out. By the way, how about Gavin Newsom harassing J.D. Vance and his family when they're in California trying to enjoy Disneyland? How low class is that?
Gavin Newsom is really a special kind of stupid, a special kind of slimy. So I just got back. My wife and I were on an Alaska cruise, right? So we go up to Juneau and all the stuff that you do on an Alaska cruise. It was grand. I was too cheap to pop for the data plan on the cruise, so I was totally unplugged for the entire last week. I get home on Sunday, and what hits my inbox first? That Gavin Newsom and the Democrats in California are now totally in the camp of defending illegal child labor as long as it's harvesting pot fields. I mean, you can't make this stuff up in this state.
You can't make it up. You know, it's amazing to me. We're speaking with Dwayne Patterson. I'm Heidi Harris in for Mark Reardon. You know what's amazing? He was just down in South Carolina, as you know, a couple days ago. I mean, does this
Running
guy really
president.
Think his... Yes, does he really think his shtick's going to fly in South Carolina? I mean, is he that completely devoid of awareness?
Yes, yes. The short answer is yes. Gavin Newsom thinks that he has got what Kamala Harris never had, which is charisma. And he does have charisma.
Yes, he does.
He does have charisma, but what he can't get away from is how rotten the rest of the country views California governance. Nobody in the country is clamoring for, gee, if only we could take what's going on in California and nationalize it. No blue state is even saying that.
Yeah, California would be Haiti if it weren't for the federal government. Can we be honest about that, please, Dwayne?
Yes.
I mean, come on. You know and I know.
Yes. We're at the point now.
Good.
Yeah. No, go ahead. Yes, I'm a Californian now. Have been my entire life. But as soon as my wife retires, I think we're probably gonna bail out because there's not much here worth saving. Have you seen that show Silo on Apple TV? You know about it?
Nope.
Dystopian show where you can't go outside and some unknown entity 140 years ago builds a 144 level silo where everybody lives. All self-contained community in this silo. That is going to be the Pacific Palisades in season 3 because apparently, the state senate in California just passed a measure that would allow the L.A. county authorities to basically steal the land out from under everybody. You can't build on it. You can't clear the land that burned. So we're going to buy it for dirt cheap. And it's not eminent domain. It's quote, voluntary. But we've made it so you can't use the land otherwise, and we're the only ones that can buy it.
Yeah,
and so they're going to basically, They're going to steal the land out from under the people that had it, and they're going to put high-density, high-rise, low-income, high-density housing on it.
Well, I heard they were going to do that like in Altadena, but are they going to do that in Pacific Palisades too?
Yes, they're going to do it in the Palisades. The Palisades is going to be a giant silo of low-income people.
You know, I just saw some pictures yesterday, because I haven't been down in California for a while, that Adam Carolla posted looking down over the beach. I think it was Malibu. And
yeah.
Not only are the houses not rebuilt, to your point, they are there's literally wreckage sitting there, you know, everything burnt, and that's not even cleared. I mean, I'm stunned at that point.
They can't even get the permits to clear the land because there's environmental concerns of moving the debris that's there.
It's just
asinine.
Yeah, I had no idea. I mean, I knew they hadn't had a lot of permits and all that, but the idea that you're just going to let all of this... I have some friends who had a fire in their garage a couple months back, and it's quite a deal. The whole garage burnt. They had to go in and clear everything out, but they do. They clear it out. They put it in the dumpster. They do this. They do the asbestos abatement. They did stuff. They've been doing things. They put all the new trusses up. I mean, they're doing it one step at a time. Meanwhile, Pacific Palisades, nothing's happening at all.
So there is a former military base, helicopter base, in Orange County, and it used to have two huge blimp hangars in one city in Orange County. And one of those hangars burned to the ground because a bunch of homeless people were in it and accidentally set fire to it and burned it to the ground. Wow. Once they finally got to the site and were able to start to clean it up, it was so full of toxic waste that they had to spray all this kind of goo to kind of keep it from blowing away. They still haven't cleaned the rest of it up. This has been going on for 2.5 years, and it's acres and acres and acres of land, and all that's left is the four concrete corner posts for where the doors were of this hangar. So we now have in Southern California our own version of Stonehenge.
No, but the funny, not funny part is that this is what the entire country would look like, inefficiency. I don't know if you remember a couple of years ago when you had Pete Buttigieg in charge of transportation. They had a wreck, a car overturned on the freeway between California and Vegas. People were on the road in 100-degree weather for 44 hours. They could have gone down. They could have called the base right there. You've got Fort Irwin right there. You could have called the base. They could have put some stuff that would have gotten cars off the road. I talked to a friend of mine who's a retired general. I said, "General, they could have gotten those cars." He said, "Of course. They put, I guess it's a bridging or whatever. They put it down. They can get tanks off the road. Of course they could have done it. 44 hours these cars sat there. This is California because Gavin Newsom never made a phone call to Fort Irwin to get the problem solved. This could be the entire country." That story didn't get a lot of attention. I know you know about it, but a lot of people didn't. And it's important because it's indicative of the way they think.
It's sclerotic and neurotic at the same time. And you mentioned Pothole Pete Buttigieg, former mayor of Fort Bend, Indiana. He is... trying to make some noise like he's going to run for the primary, too. I don't think he's got the charisma to compete with Gavin Newsom. I know Kamala Harris is flirting with a run again. Honestly, there's no bench. There is no bench on the Democratic side right now. I know Cory Booker's been acting like he wants to run. But honestly, if you're the Democratic Party, who are you going for right now?
Right. There is no bench, to your point. They have, and not only do they have nobody, they have no ideas. I mean, when you have the guy who created ChatGPT, and you know the story, backing up and saying, I'm politically homeless now. He's even backed off from the Democrats. He's been a Democrat for decades. A lot of money this guy has. I mean, a lot of people are backing away from them because we don't even know who they are anymore.
Right. This is a party. This is a group of people that, coming back in where we started, they are defending child labor. I mean, 14-year-olds working a pot crop fields. And the reason they're supporting it, the reason they're defending it, is because Donald Trump is against it on the other side. And as long as Donald Trump's against something, we have to be for it. Well, that's not really the way to have a winning party.
I posted something on my Facebook page the other day about the situation, and I had a liberal friend of mine pop in, and he says, oh, I guess you don't care about the children who are being separated. I said, no, I care about the kids who are being forced to work in the pot fields, and there's a lot worse going on with the kids, as you know, in the fields where other things are growing, and they're setting up little brothels in there, and the little kids who've disappeared in the country. I said, I care about them, because when you have a border that's not controlled, and you've got still illegals running around, you have to make sure these kids are being taken care of, and nobody's asking. And if you're getting separated from your family, it's because, you know, maybe you had a baby with an illegal. Well, that's on you. That's on you. It's not my fault.
Absolutely. Babylon Bee, one of my favorite sites I go to look at a couple times a day. They've now have a piece about Gavin Newsom starting a brand new Underground Railroad, channeling a bunch of Mexican kids into the pot fields of Camarillo.
It's not funny. It's not funny, but that's the attitude, right? They don't care if these kids are being taken advantage of. Nobody cares about the exploitation of these children.
You remember Nancy Pelosi? Nancy Pelosi, who everything in her career has been about the children. It's always about the children, right? And what is Nancy Pelosi doing about this? She's saying nothing about it. Remember, Gavin Newsom is her nephew, right? And you're not seeing anybody want to say anything about this story other than, well, but it's wrong. We need to leave the status quo. The marijuana field, the marijuana crop, that's too big of an industry in California. We rely on it. We've got to leave things alone. But no, you don't leave it alone. You're literally using forced child labor. What's next? You got to go take the Uyghurs from China and have them replace them? I mean, what's next?
Yeah, and I'm thinking about the RNC running. All they have to do to run ads against Gavin Newsom is, you know, just roll a car down Huntington Beach in these various places in San Francisco where all the homeless are there with their motorhomes and all these things and the trash and all this stuff and say, is this what you want your state to look like? I mean, it's very simple, yes or no.
Yeah, the ads literally write themselves. Yes. Steve Hilton, who's running for governor out here for the Republicans, I have no idea if he's got it. I like him a lot. I have no idea if he has a chance or not, but things are going so bad for the Democrats right now that Hilton, I saw a couple different polls out where he's pulling 19-20% in a multi-person field. He actually could do something just because the Democrats are that incompetent.
Wow. Well, and he's a smart guy, and how long has he been in America? He's a Brit, right?
Yeah, he actually used to be the chief of staff for David Cameron.
Okay.
When
Cameron
was
prime
minister.
Okay. Real sharp guy. Well, you know, listen. Yeah.
Conservative chops. But he's been here in the States for, I don't know, 15 years.
Yeah. Well, listen, you know, California is just a disaster. And I don't know what the Palisades and how many people who moved out of California because they don't have houses anymore, how much that would factor into an election. We don't know. But what we do know is we don't want the entire country looking like California. That's for sure. Dwayne, great talking to you as always. Please give Hugh my very best.
Will do. Will do. Take care.
All right, buddy. Thank you. Appreciate it. I'm Heidi Harrison for Mark Reardon. If you'd like to follow 97.1 FM Talk on all the socials, just do so at 97.1 FM Talk, 97.1 FM Talk. You can follow Mark Reardon there at Mark Reardon KFTK. It's Mark Reardon KFTK. And you can follow me, Heidi Harris Show, on all the socials. And check out my podcast, which is on the Odyssey app. I did another one. It's not, you know how podcasts work. They have to pick it up. You post it and then the various sites pick it up. I did one earlier today about Chip and Joanna Gaines. They are the people who have that decorating show on cable TV, which frankly, I haven't paid for cable TV in so many years. But I'll see it in waiting rooms, you know, or sometimes, you know. And so anyway, they're big Christians. And then they decided to do a show featuring a family, including two dads and two kids they bought, basically. So I had some thoughts on that, which you can just check them out on my podcast if you would like to at a later date. Just look for that and you will find them. Here's some good news. Home Depot co-founder Ken Langone had basically kind of retracted support for President Trump a while back and slammed his tariffs as a name that starts with B that I can't use on the air, a word. He reversed course during an interview with CNBC today, claiming he is now, listen to this, sold on Trump and that he's got a good shot at going down in history as one of our best presidents ever. This is such good stuff. He's 89 years old, by the way. He told CNBC he's never been more excited about the future of America than he is right now. And like it or not, this guy is getting things done. That is great. He praised Trump's strike on Iran as miraculous and said the One Big Beautiful Bill Act has a lot of merit and will trigger significant economic growth. He told CNBC in 2024 he was afraid Trump would spend the next 4 years getting even, but he reversed his position today, saying, "I'm happy to say I'm comfortable he's not doing that." Exactly. The last thing Trump needs to be doing is running around settling scores. That does nobody any good. I think this is great. This is great that he has reversed course on this, and he sees that Trump is getting, like it or not, he's getting things done right. You may not like the way he does it, you know, but he's trying to make sure these wars stop, make sure we still look strong, you know, make sure this thing in the Middle East doesn't get worse. I mean, you know, he's doing the best. I mean, he's got a lot of issues right now happening as a president. I think he's done a great job because he just gets it done. You're not going to stop wars. There are always going to be people wanting to take from somebody else the land, the women, the money, whatever it might be. And that's as long as human beings have existed. That's what's gone on. But God bless Trump for having, I mean, can you imagine? I mean, it took a lot of guts to say, "I want the bunker buster. I want all these weapons." And I know people in the Air Force, and I was what they call an honorary commander out at the Air Force Base, at Nellis Air Force Base in Las Vegas for almost 20 years. Got to know a lot of these fighter pilots and their families. And I mean, these people are amazing. They're brilliant. They're just incredible. And they dedicate their lives, especially out in Nellis Air Force Base, which is where I am in Vegas. That's where they test. They do the test and training. And what they do is they see what's needed out in the field, you know, in the field of battle. And then they develop techniques to be able to battle that particular thing, whatever it might be. That's what they do. It's a lot of what they do out there. And to actually see this stuff working and knowing they have a huge area out there, Nellis Test and Training Range, this huge amount of land out in the desert where they test a lot of these things, including the bunker buster that was used. These are the kind of things that, you know, and so it's great to, it'd be nice if you lived in a world where you had these bombs and never had to use them. That'd be nice. But the reality is there are people who only respond when you're stronger than they are. That's it. That's it. That's in the case of Iran. You know, I saw some today in Iran. Speaking of Iran, they actually put a woman in jail. Do you know that they don't allow women to sing in public? And they haven't since 1979? I didn't know this. A woman cannot sing in public since 1979 in Iran. So no karaoke bars, girls. Whatever. They actually put a woman in jail for doing a movie about singing. I mean, this is you can't do movies or you can't act or you can't do anything like that. You know, all these lefty morons in America who talk about Iran have no idea what it's like to live there and have no freedom. Have to cover up head to toe, have no freedom, can't do this, can't do that, can't have an opinion, can't do a movie, can't sing, can't, I mean, you know, how would you, I don't think you're going to have a talk show there, girls on The View. I mean, when you think about it, I've been getting paid to talk for a long time, over 25 years. And in most countries in the world, you don't get to say, "You know what I think?" You'll get shot. I mean, it's such a gift to be able to express our opinions here in the world, in America. And people don't have to agree with them. They don't have to even want to hear them. But the truth is, we're able to do it. Most of the world does not have that. And we forget that sometimes. Are these dorks who want to defend Iran? The Iranian people, I'll defend all day long, but not the leadership. The Iranian people don't want to live under this garbage. They don't want this. Can you imagine somebody coming in tomorrow and telling all the women you have to cover up and this and that, you can't do this, you can't do that? I mean, can you imagine how quickly that can happen? We take our freedoms for granted sometimes. We really do. We don't think about how tenuous our freedom is and how important it is to remind the world that we have the weapons and we're going to use them. And then the media immediately came out. "Oh, well, it didn't really do the damage he said it did." Instead of championing our amazing folks in the military who spent 36 hours round trip flying over there and back without being detected and all the 125 aircraft involved, all the, you know, you have the aircraft that's, you know, supporting them and all the different things. Okay. So you can check my podcast out. When I interviewed the Air Force General about it, incredible. It's just an incredible attack. It was just amazing what happened, the way it was executed. Incredible. And these people, this is what they devote their lives to. And the media, instead of giving them any credit for being so amazing, going over there, just not bombing the entire city, just taking care of the things they wanted to take care of and getting out of there without being detected, instead of getting anybody credit about that, anybody. No, we can't do that. Instead of that, they've got to tear them down. Well, you know, it was weird. I was watching, totally off the subject, but I was, for some reason, I was watching some coverage about the Columbia, when the shuttle Columbia burned up. I was watching both that one and the Challenger. I don't know, last couple of days, just news stories that came out at the time, the news coverage, I found it kind of fascinating. And at one point, Ronald Reagan, Larry Speaks was the spokesperson at the time, who came out and was saying that the president had been told, the president had been taken into his office where there was a TV, you know, no cell phones or anything then, right? And so he went into his office and was looking. I'm watching the TV, just quietly watching. They're trying to get a quote out of him. What did he do? What did he say? Did he say anything? And then he says, well, you know, he's sad, and he's anxiously waiting for information. So what does the media do? They go out and portray Ronald Reagan. Well, the president's anxious. That's what they said. And I was listening to it, and I was, oh my gosh, I just watched Larry Speaks come out and talk about it. The president's anxious for more information. And then the media cuts it off as, oh, the president's anxious. I mean, these people. They kill me. That's why no one believes them anymore. That's for sure. I'm Heidi Harrison for Mark Reardon.
But we also are going to have a reinstitution of the Angelino card, something that Mayor Garcetti started during COVID, that will actually provide cash assistance to people. Because, you know, you have people who don't want to leave their homes, who are not going to work, and they are in need of cash. It's a couple hundred dollars. I don't know the exact amount. And this should be available in about a week.
Wow. I'm going to move to California because I don't feel like leaving the house either. Oh, wait a minute. I don't even know what to say. That was Karen Bass, mayor of LA, by the way. I don't even know what to say to these people. They're so completely disconnected from reality. So that's the solution, to support the illegals, to give them money to stay home. I have trouble wrapping my mind around some of the responses from these people. You know, nobody cares what's happening to women and children who are being victimized as a result of what's going on the border. The illegals who are still here, because a lot of times what happens is, if there are people in the country illegally, and of course this is happening now with Trump, with the ICE raids and things like that, people who are in the country illegally, their friends will threaten them. They'll threaten to out them. I remember the last police ride along that I went on, a friend of mine was getting ready to retire. I went on with him, and one of the things that we did that day was go over to somebody's house. There was a domestic violence incident. And it turned out that one of the roommates was threatening to call ICE on another. This is 4 years ago. No, it's more than that. 5-6 years ago. Threatening to call ICE on another roommate. And this is what happens. You know, they're holding it over each other's heads. Because let's face it, in life, you are more likely to be victimized, no matter who you are, by somebody you know. You're more likely to be burglarized, you're more likely to be sexually assaulted, you're more likely to be killed, you're more likely to everything in any kind of way victimized by somebody you know. And people tend to generally hang around, not always, but hang around people they know. You've got immigrant communities, so to speak. Who's going to victimize you? Another immigrant, most likely. And if they can hold it over your head that you're illegally here, you're not going to speak out. I just saw a story in another city of a woman who'd been attacked. I'm cleaning this up for the air. She'd been attacked, did some horrible things. And the girl was told, well, if you say anything, I'm going to, you know, you're going to get kicked out of the country. That's not right. When you're illegally here in America, you still should have the right. And I know most sheriffs and most communities will encourage illegals. Even if you're here illegally, if you've been victimized, you come tell us. We're not going to put up with that nonsense. So there are people trying to keep their own, kinfolk down or country folk down by threatening them. And that goes for any immigrant community. You're illegally here. I'm going to make sure that, you know, I'm going to threaten you. So why is that ever discussed? Liberals always want to talk about the whole idea of, oh, we're separating families. If you're separating, if your family's separated, you're stupid. You had a baby with somebody you shouldn't have had a baby with. Don't have a baby with somebody who's illegally in the country. Don't do it. It's your own fault. Not Trump's fault. I had a friend years ago who was a pilot, a military pilot, who moved to Australia because it was hard to get his wife here for whatever reason. She was Australian, and she was here for a while, but they were concerned about, you know, there was a possibility at that time that they were going to be separated where she couldn't get back. I don't remember what the real reason was, but he moved to Australia, stayed there. He didn't want to put her in a situation where she couldn't get back here or whatever. He made that decision. You have to be smart about these things. It's not Trump's fault if your family's getting yanked apart. Your family's being separated. You did that. You did that. I have a friend who works in immigration. He was actually a longtime producer of mine, and worked together for about 15 years. And he got smart and got a real job, got out of radio, got a real job. Just kidding. Love radio still. But he went to school, got his master's, and now he works in the legal field, and he deals with a lot of illegal immigrants, trying to help people get their actual papers, you know, do it the correct way. And he said a lot of these people, they pay a certain amount of money, da, da, da. He's been calling them back. They're not there. They're gone. They went home. A lot of them. And I would too. If I were in the country illegally, I would self-deport. I wouldn't wait around for a knock on my door. Leave. How could you, why would you want to live in a place where you're constantly anywhere, where you're looking over your shoulder? You don't know what's going to happen. So it makes total sense to me that's what you do. But he said a lot of his clients are self-deporting. They don't want to deal with it. You know, what you don't want to do is wait until the decisions are made for you. And if you're illegally here, decisions are going to be made for you. If you get rounded up, your stuff's going to be who knows where. Your pets are going to be who knows where. Why would you do that to yourself? You know, it's almost like, and it's not really, but it's almost like, you know, older parents. Anybody got older parents who won't move? Raising my hand. Anybody got older parents? They won't move. And if you don't do that when you can, when you're young and healthy enough to make decisions, and you fall and break a hip or you become mentally disabled or something like that, guess what? Decisions are made for you. And you may not like it. Your stuff's going to get thrown in the dumpster. You know, who knows what will happen to your pets, maybe given to family, friends. Who knows? I mean, if you want to make decisions about your life, you need to make them while you're still capable of making them. And it's kind of the same principle, you know, whether you're an older parent and you think, I'm going to die in this house. Well, okay, I hope you get to. But if you don't, then your stuff's all going in a dumpster and you may have to move somewhere you don't want to move. Whereas if you take the time to look for a place, I know some people who are doing this. A friend of mine who was a pilot and flew during Vietnam, he's an amazing guy. He and his wife are in their 80s, sharp as tacks. But they decided to move out of their house. I mean, they're just one step ahead. Moved out of their big house, told their kids they had 30 days to come get whatever they had still in the house, and said, we're having a giant garage sale and we're moving. And they got to move into one of those apartments that you pay for. It's not really assisted. I guess it's kind of assisted living. Before the decision was made for them. See, they're smart. That's what you do. So you can pick the place. You can make the decision. You can see what happens to all your stuff. Instead of it all going in a dumpster because you're in the hospital and now you're not coming home from the hospital and your kids have to do this. Just throwing it out there, folks. I know several people in this situation right now with their parents. And it's going to go badly when the decision has to be made by somebody else. And if you're illegally here in America, decisions will be made for you. You may be separated from your kids, your pets, your stuff. Who knows? Why would you take that chance? Go! Why would you look over your shoulder? Just get out of here. It makes no sense to me. And that is not Trump's fault. That is your fault. So, I don't know. Rahm Emanuel, former U.S. ambassador to Japan and a lot of other things, Obama advisor and whatnot. He said Democratic voters today said are fully caffeinated, double espresso when it comes to involvement in politics at the moment. Really? I see them as, not having any bench at all. As Dwayne said, we were talking with Dwayne Patterson, there's no bench. He said, if you look at every special election and every primary, Democrat turnout since 2024 is way up on a comparative basis. And it's very, very, he said, Democratic voters are very energized, are not waiting for the leadership to get their act together. See, that's part of it, too. You got Rahm Emanuel, who is, an older guy. Who's speaking for the younger generation? I don't even know. AOC? Is that all they've got? Not the Republicans have a bunch of young people, because they don't. And I get it, but my gosh. More left-wing Democrats, I'm quoting this from The Hill, have said their party did not go far enough in their direction to excite the party's base, while centrists have said the party went too far left and scared off moderate voters. I would go with that one instead. Emanuel, in May, in a Wall Street Journal article, called the Democratic brand toxic, weak, and woke. Right. Because they don't stand for anything. All the Democratic Party stands for now, as far as leadership, is everything that's anti-American, everything that's anti-family, everything that's anti-parental rights. Tell me what they stand for. They're just against everything, but they're not for anything. What are they for? Tell me what they're for. I don't know what they're for. They don't know what they're for. And once again, I don't know what happened with the Epstein files. Who knows? Now, obviously, the Democrats are seeing a weakness here in Trump. Senate Minority Whip Dick Durbin today joined fellow Democrats in calling for the release of the federal files in the case involving disgraced financier and convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein. See, that's the thing. Now they want the files released because they feel like it's going to hurt Trump. They never stop trying to hurt Trump. Whatever hurts Trump, that's what they're good for. The American people deserve to know the truth, Hakeem Jeffries said. Oh, brother. Since when? Since when do the American people need to deserve to know the truth? But you watch this, guys. They're finally seeing, in their mind, something that will divide Trump and his base. But once again, I don't know how that's going to affect anything in the midterms. Are they going to hold Congress responsible for that? I don't think so. By the way, I just finished reading. I've had this book on my shelf for several years. I finally got around to reading it. Steve Scalise's book. Remember him? He was the House Whip. Shot at that baseball game. 2017. Remember that story? I had no idea. This goes to show you how downplayed it was in the media. I had no idea how that guy fired off 100 bullets. 100 before he was taken out by agents there to protect Steve Scalise and the people who came on the scene. I'm not saying that his people stood around and watched that happen, but people who came on the scene who protected him. 100 bullets were fired off in all kinds of different directions at this baseball game. 100. And, the media, I don't remember the media making a big deal about it. Yes, people supported him, and yes, people were happy he was back. But there wasn't anywhere near the coverage of how horrible that event was if it had been a Democrat involved. I hate to say that, but it's true. But it's a really good book. I had no idea what this guy went through. No idea. All the things, the miraculous things that happened as a result, that happened around his injury and stuff like that. So, highly recommend it. See, people seem to be together for 5 minutes there because, at the time they were saying an attack on one of us is an attack on all of us, which is true. But the media, they never really talked about how bad it was for him and how terrible it could have been for many more people. Had a lot of things not come together. So just a reminder, big reminder of how good we have it here in America, that we should be grateful for every single day that we have. But you can't trust the media. They're not going to tell you what you need to hear. They're not going to tell you what I want to say need to hear. I'm talking about the facts. They're not going to tell you that. They tell you what they want you to hear. And that's why people don't trust them anymore. It's so frustrating. They can't just tell you this is what happened today and not put a spin on it. There's nothing wrong with a spin or an opinion or anything like that. But we were talking about news. Just give me the news straight. I mean, I've been doing talk radio for a long time and I could write news. If I had to just write straight news, I don't know how to do it for time like Sue does or anything like that. But if you gave me a news story and said, just pull the facts out of it and don't put a spin on it, as a conservative, I could do that. Even as a conservative, I wouldn't spin it. I could write it in a way that wasn't slanted, like Sue does. But nowadays, they don't care. They don't even, and the thing it's sad, they don't even understand what the slant is. They don't even get it, that they're slanted. Huh? What? That's what happened. Well, he's separating them from all these, kids are being separated from their parents. What about the kids in the fields being forced to work, huh? What? I don't see that. Brother. Brother. I'm Heidi Harrison for Mark Reardon. Had a good time hanging out with y'all today. You can follow me on all the socials, Heidi Harris Show, and my podcast is up on the Odyssey app, Heidi Harris Show. It's now time for the cut of the day, correct, Ethan?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Stand by. Playback ready.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
Let's release them in the community. Wait 3 or 5 years. Pardon me?
Are you an MS-13 member? It says so.
Hey, that's okay. This guy wouldn't know us like the service nation. This guy ain't got the balls to be an ICE officer. He hasn't got the balls to be a bomb show agent. This guy lives in his mother's basement. The only thing that surprised me, you don't have purple hair and a nose ring. Get out of here, you loser.
That's Tom Homan. Oh, I love him. He's the border czar, as you know. He's a big guy, too. He's a pretty big guy. You don't mess with. That's so funny. See, that's, can I just be honest? That's what we need more of. I mean, if you're going to be rude like that, I was in Washington, D.C. a couple of years back, and we were at the Federation for American Immigration Reform event. And I know Mark Cox is gone, probably Reardon too, but Mark Cox said it was gone back in D.C. And I was in front of the ICE building, Immigration and Customs building in there in D.C. And I was introducing Ted Cruz at the event. We were having an event out in front and Ted Cruz was going to speak and this and that. Okay, so Ted Cruz shows up and I introduce him. And I've always liked Ted Cruz. I know some people pick on him, but I've always liked him. So he shows up, introduces him, great, and he's speaking. Out of nowhere, I mean out of nowhere, comes this weenie of a guy on a bicycle, like Tom Holmes describing, probably live with his mommy and daddy. He's on a bicycle, and he shows up right when Ted Cruz starts talking, and he's yelling the entire time. And God bless Ted Cruz. He never broke, you know, his train of thought at all. He was great. He just kept talking. And I finally told the guy to go get lost, and I think I used some pretty harsh language with him too. I was like, you know, get a life, go back to your mom's house. You know, whatever it was I said, I was pretty mouthy and the audience was laughing. But Ted Cruz kept his cool because that's who he is. But, you know, these people are just rude. If you've got a disagreement, and there are plenty of people I've been in meetings with or that I've disagreed with or gone to events, you know, how about some decorum? But screaming and yelling at somebody, you know, he's right. Go back to your parents' basement. I don't know. But this person who showed up out of nowhere had to have known where, I don't know how he knew where Ted Cruz was going to be, but he's just screaming the entire time Ted Cruz was talking. My gosh. Just nothing else to do with your meaningless little existence. This is it. This is what you do on your little bicycle, screaming and yelling at Ted Cruz. Okay. Wow, you must be really proud of yourself. I just don't understand it. Or these people, they have no existence that's meaningless, or meaningful, I should say. They really don't. That's why they get involved in this stuff. Who knows what their situation in life is. Maybe they've gone to school, maybe they've gotten a useless degree, have debts up the wazoo, can't get a job at the coffee shop. And I'm not putting in the coffee shop down. I couldn't work at Starbucks. I couldn't do that job. I don't even know how to make coffee like they do. But, you know, nobody will hire you. So you're just a loser. You just feel like you have, you know, nothing going in your life. So this is what you're going to do. Your contribution to society is to run around on your bicycle and start screaming at politicians, or show up at events like Tom Homan's event and scream at somebody. This is your contribution. So at the end of your life, when St. Peter's going to be there, this is what you're going to tell him you did. This is what I did. I didn't, have a great family or do anything like that. You know, you did this. It's just sad. You know, these disaffected losers seem to be a lot more common now in society. And I think it's a combination of a lot of things, but blaming politicians for the fact that your life's not working out well is ridiculous. You've got to make good decisions with your life. You know, go to school or acquire a skill. You don't have to go to college. No one's saying you have to. Acquire a skill, learn how to do something. Learn how to be useful to society. Learn how to be useful to your family. Learn how to be useful to anybody, to a spouse. But people don't want that anymore. I mean, they really don't. They just want to blame everybody else. Their life's not going the way they thought it would because of something someone else has done. Okay. Can you imagine? And that's kind of a loser mentality, because if you believe you're a victim of circumstance, then you believe that you have no control over your life and you can't make your life better. It's not a way to look at things. Running around blaming everyone else for everything else. Well, gee, I guess you have no shot. Because of the color of your skin, or because you have too many college loans, or because of this, or because there's always some excuse. I can't make it because blah, blah, blah. So therefore, I'm just going to be a loser and never accomplish anything in my life. It's silly. No matter who you are, if God gives you another day on this earth, you can choose to contribute. So anyway, I hope you do. I hope you do contribute. Do the best you can with what you've got. That's what we all have to do. Hey, it's been fun sitting in for Mark Reardon. Thank you, Ethan. Always fun working with you, my friend.
Oh, always a blast. Always getting to connect and catch up and hear your thoughts on the latest.
I miss you. Although I don't miss, I'm not going to lie, when the Chiefs are playing, I'm always grateful that I'm not working Sunday night, right?
Yeah, well, you know, they're in prime time a lot, so you had to miss a lot of those games.
I know, but I miss working with you, but it's always great to see you and see everybody.
Likewise.
At the Mark Reardon Show. So good talking to everybody. Follow me on social media, Heidi Harris Show, if you'd like to, and look for my podcast, Heidi Harris Show, on the podcast. You got to click on podcasts when you go to the Odyssey app. You can find it. Okay, everybody. Tomorrow, Ryan Recker will be with you. I'm Heidi Harris in for Mark Reardon. Have a good day.
Get more at 971talk.com.